From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Dave Iverson, in today for Michael Krasny. Coming up on Forum, we'll get an update from Washington, D.C. on the resignation of National Security Advisor Michael Flynn, and we'll get the latest on who may replace him. And then we'll turn to true love. And on this Valentine's Tuesday, we want to try something a little different and just tell stories. Stories about how you met the person you love, the person who would become your partner or spouse, your true love. Give us a call and tell us the story of how you first met. Do you remember what your spouse was wearing, their first words or yours? The latest from Washington and the latest on love. Next on Forum, after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Dave Iverson, in today for Michael Krasny. Late last night, Michael Flynn resigned as President Trump's national security advisor after he acknowledged that he'd misled Vice President Mike Pence on conversations he'd had with the Russian ambassador about American sanctions in December. That's, of course, before President Trump's inaugural. Trump has named Lieutenant General Joseph Kellogg as the acting national security advisor as he goes about the business of finding a permanent replacement. And so in this first half hour, we're going to talk about General Flynn's resignation, its national security implications, what it means for the Trump administration, particularly as Democrats and now some Republicans demand a broader investigation into what has taken place. Joining us for our conversation this morning are Ellen Nakashima. She's a national security reporter for The Washington Post. Good morning, Ellen. Thanks for joining us.
Good to be with you.
And joining us as well is Ron Elving, senior editor and correspondent at NPR. Ron, pleasure as always to have you on our program.
Good to be with you, Dave.
So, Ellen Nakashima, you've done a lot of reporting on this and have done reporting that addressed the role of Mike Flynn in talking about sanctions with the Russian ambassador. This story has so accelerated in the last 48 hours. What was the tipping point in have you discovered in your reporting? Was it the firm knowledge that he did, in fact, talk about sanctions with the Russian ambassador before he was actually before the Trump inauguration? Or was it the certain knowledge that he'd misled the vice president? What tipped the story toward Michael Flynn's eventual resignation?
Yeah, Dave, I think you put your finger on it. It's really the getting caught in the lie that it was the firm knowledge and the public disclosure that he had not only discussed sanctions with the Russian ambassador, but more importantly, had lied or misled Vice President Pence about the nature of the call, of the discussions. And it was that sort of misleading impression which the White House allowed to persist, because it wasn't just Pence, but it was other senior Trump administration officials, was allowing that to persist, that created the potential for compromise, for blackmail of Flynn by the Russians. And that's what kind of created a concern for some intelligence officials. And once all of that came out publicly, it became such a political issue for the White House, it kind of made it impossible for Flynn to carry on his duties.
Is it your sense that Vice President Pence or others within the administration were pushing for Flynn to resign before, long before, or was this really something that did accelerate just in the last few days?
Well, my sense is that it was something that accelerated just within the last few days. There had been a flurry of stories about Flynn and his calls a few weeks ago and one of my colleagues, David Ignatius, in a column, reported on the calls between Russian Ambassador Kislyak and Flynn, but he didn't report on the substance of the calls. He just raised the question as whether or not sanctions could have been discussed, because one of the calls took place on or about the same day that the Obama administration announced sanctions and expulsions of Russian spies from the U.S. On December 29th. This was all in retaliation or to punish Russia for its alleged interference in the 2016 election. And so that led to a series of news stories in which reporters asked the question, and and senior officials, including Sean Spicer, said that no, that Flynn had not discussed sanctions with Kislyak. In fact, he'd only discussed four things. He discussed Christmas greetings with the ambassador, potential, the peace talks about Syria for ceasefire, the plane crash, and, getting the logistics of a call between Putin and Trump set up. Nothing about sanctions. Until we reported last Friday, I guess it was, that in fact, sanctions were discussed, and not only were they discussed, it was a main topic of the call. So for, Flynn to have said, as he did a couple of days ago, that he could not actually recall whether or not sanctions came up, they might have, I mean, it strikes us as a little disingenuous.
Ellen Nakashima joining us, national security reporter for The Washington Post, along with Ron Elving at NPR. One quick follow-up, Ellen, which is may seem naive, but I actually wondered, first of all, how do you know what actually was talked about in those conversations? And it turns out that we listen in on these conversations. So shouldn't General Flynn have known that it's standard procedure for the intelligence officials to be listening in on conversations that take place with the Russian ambassador?
No, absolutely. That's what's kind of inexplicable about this all. I mean, General Flynn is a veteran intelligence professional. He was the head of the DIA. He handled intelligence operations in Afghanistan and Iraq. He should have known full well that the Russian ambassador's calls were wiretapped and that they would pick up anyone who was speaking with him on the calls. And as a matter of fact, the FBI was monitoring the ambassador's calls, just as it does other foreign diplomats on U.S. soil. It's just part of its mission, and they do it, under with court approval. And there was a summary, an FBI summary of the contents of the call between Kislyak and Flynn that was circulated amongst the national security officials in the Obama administration.
Hmm. Ellen Nakashima again at The Washington Post joining us. We'd like you to join us as well with your questions for Ellen along with Ron Elving at NPR. You can phone in your questions at 866-733-6786, 866-733-6786. Email us at forum@kqed.org. Ron Elving, one of the things that's been interesting about this over the last day or two is that once again, Sally Yates, the one-time acting attorney general, is front and center in a major news story involving the Trump administration. She, of course, declined initially to enforce President Trump's travel ban. She was fired then by the president. But before that actually took place, she was involved in this drama as well. What does that tell us, I guess, about what is going on within Washington today and perhaps the Trump administration's not being aware, as perhaps they ought, of how all this information is assessed by other branches of government?
They are still learning the ropes, Dave. I think that's the short answer there. And a hat tip goes here to The Washington Post, which published last night online a story saying, essentially, as you just described, that Sally Yates had warned the Trump White House that she was, at that time, still the acting attorney general. She was a holdover from the Obama administration, and they had not replaced her yet with Jeff Sessions because he was awaiting Senate confirmation, and they were slow-walking that because they needed his vote to get other Trump nominations through the Senate. So he was still in the Senate, and she was still at the Justice Department, and she warned the White House that there was this summary being circulated, and also telling them, this means that he has lied to some people, Mike Flynn has, about what those conversations included, and that includes Vice President Mike Pence, who went on several television shows to say, no problem, Mike Flynn has assured me he wasn't talking about sanctions with the ambassador. So all of that added up last night to essentially the last straw, because at that point, not only did we know that Mike Flynn had lied, but we also knew that the White House knew that he had lied. They had been informed, and yet they had allowed him to remain in National Security Council meetings, and they had also allowed him to sort of twist in the wind.
Well, that seems, Ron Elving, that may become so central to this story, because it raises the old, you know, what did the president know and when did he know it question, the famous question that Howard Baker raised during the Watergate hearing, you know, all those years and years ago. Do you think that's where the focus will go now, Ron, that people will want to know, well, was this allowed to play out when knowledge was there?
Is this part of a larger relationship? I think that's the question you have to ask. How many calls were there between Mike Flynn and Ambassador Kislyak? Is this something that was going on routinely? Why did he think he could characterize these calls the way he did to Pence and others and not realize that there would be a record of it? As Ellen asked earlier, why didn't he know, shouldn't he have known that these calls were being monitored? That's his job. And finally, then, what does this mean about his assumptions regarding potential encryption? Did he think he could characterize these calls any way that he wanted because he was under the impression that he had in some way or another encrypted them or had some other communications that were encrypted in an effort to frustrate our own intelligence community? Was that also going on? And then, of course, who knew what and when did they know it? All of these questions go back into the larger question that was supposedly going to get investigated about Russian interference in the campaign and the election.
Ron Elving, senior correspondent, editor at NPR, joining us along with Ellen Nakashima of The Washington Post. Listeners have questions as well. Let's get to a couple of those. John joins us first from Marin. John, go ahead.
Yeah, I just have a question as to why we think Director Comey hasn't come out and spoken about this if the FBI was aware of it.
John, thank you. Ellen?
Yes, in fact, part of the story is that Director Comey was initially reluctant. He was opposed to alerting the White House about this. He told Sally Yates and some other senior intelligence officials that to do so would compromise or potentially compromise an ongoing counterintelligence investigation that the FBI was conducting into potential links between Trump's associates and Russia. And so he's, you know, not really wanted to. He doesn't want to talk about an ongoing investigation. But, of course, now that this news is out, there's already pressure on the Bureau to explain more about what it knew and what was the extent of the contacts between the Flynn and Kislyak, as Ron mentioned, and just what was the nature of the call.
And Ellen, what are you beginning to piece together here to connect the dots between the conversation that Mike Flynn had with the Russian ambassador and Putin's decision not to respond very much when the former President Obama's sanctions were announced? Where are you at with determining whether or not those two events are connected?
Well, in fact, it is the interesting the confluence of the events that, first of all, it was the fact that the day after the sanctions were announced, that weekend, Vladimir Putin announced basically that they were not going to retaliate. They were not going to respond to the U.S.'s moves. And that led officials and analysts and officials to wonder why. Why would they not? And they started looking at some of the communications, and that's how they turned up this one call, which was, mind you, part of a series of calls between Kislyak and Flynn that actually predated the November 8th election. The volume of calls was higher than that which the White House had publicly acknowledged, and it was also sort of disproportionate to what you might expect an incoming national security advisor to be doing with a foreign official. So in terms of whether or not this, Flynn actually made an offer. We have no hard evidence of that, but there was certainly a suggestion, I think, in his communication with Kislyak that, as one official told us, and this is sort of a paraphrase, don't overreact to the sanctions. We'll handle it when we take over.
Let's get to another caller. Yale joins us next. Yale, go ahead.
Yes, my question is, what would be Flynn's motivation in initiating this kind of communication with the Russian on his own? And basically what is behind my question is a suspicion that he was acting with the direction of Trump and Pence or the Trump campaign. And right now his resignation is pretending as if he lied to them is just to protect them from being implicated in this situation.
Yale, so thank you. I hear where you're going with that. A couple of other of our listeners have written in about the same thing. Nancy also writes, do they really expect us to believe that President Trump didn't know what Flynn was saying to the Russians? What's your take on that, Ron Elving?
It is a tall order to believe that Mike Flynn, who has been very loyal to Donald Trump since they first joined forces back in 2015, that the two of them never would have had any sort of discussion about the communications that Flynn was having with the Russians, anyone having to do with the relationship between the two countries, and particularly the relationship between the current leadership of Russia, the Putin regime, and the coming new regime in the United States, the Trump administration. So it strains credulity, as your callers and your emailers are saying, but we do not know the nature of this yet, and we're trying to be cautious. We're trying to go forward one step at a time, and we're trying to put the responsibility on those government agencies and officials, and Congress in particular, who are responsible for investigating these sorts of things and would have subpoena power to go after the question of the relationship between the Trump campaign and now the Trump administration and the Putin regime.
Ellen Nakashima, I know you have to leave us, but before you go, is this perhaps also a possible explanation for this? Is we've already learned that President Trump doesn't know the inner workings of Washington, doesn't know how certain things work, and that he may have thought that it was perfectly fine for his incoming national security advisor to make these calls even before he took office. Is that a plausible explanation for what was going on?
Well, yes, sure it is. I mean, and in fact, when you talk to former senior government officials, they say, look, this is not at all unusual for incoming cabinet officials to have talks with foreign counterparts before they take office. And that's one reason why this is not even, it's not a clear-cut violation of the law. It might certainly look inappropriate to the degree that Flynn might be seeking to undermine the policy of the outgoing administration. But, prosecutors and former prosecutors I've spoken to all said they find it very difficult to believe that he would be prosecuted for this under, for instance, the Logan Act, which is one law that has been raised as a possible statute under which he could be prosecuted. But it's never been prosecuted in all the years it's been in existence. Since 1799. So yes, that is one plausible explanation, but we still, as Ron said, do not know whether or not President Trump was witting in all of this. Was he aware of what Flynn was doing? Did Flynn make this call with his assent or at his direction?
Well, thank you for continuing to report on this story. We'll look for you to continue to try to connect the dots for all of us in Washington. Ellen Nakashima, Washington Post. Thanks so much for being part of our program this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Ron Elving, let's turn to the question of reaction to this now and what you're hearing and learning about how Republicans and Democrats are responding on Capitol Hill. I actually want to ask you about Republican sentiment first. Democrats have already raised a lot of calls and questions and asked for further investigations into this. But so are Republicans. This morning, Roy Blunt, senator from Missouri, said we have to look into this exhaustively. John McCain has already said that Flynn's resignation indicates, quote, dysfunction of the current national security operation. Is this something Republicans in the Senate and Congress have largely stood with the president so far. Does this represent the possibility of a first major fissure between Republican leaders on the Hill and the Trump administration?
Yes, it does, but still just a possibility. We don't have the reality of a real fissure yet. Among the other comments that we heard from Republicans this morning was Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, a defense hawk, a Russia hawk. And he said that it was highly unlikely that Michael Flynn, quote, went rogue. In other words, was acting on his own. So that very strongly implies that there's something to be investigated about the larger attitude, posture of the Trump administration toward the Russians. And there are a lot of Republicans who feel that way. And of course, on the Democratic side, it's a chorus of people, you know, essentially putting their hands alongside their sides of their head and saying, this is horrifying. We can't have this kind of thing. And even as within this hour, there has been a lengthy news conference in which many, many Democrats, Nancy Pelosi, the Democratic leader in the House, and many of the committee ranking members, including Adam Schiff from the House Intelligence Committee and others, are all saying we have to have an independent, a special committee, a commission, something other than just the ordinary committees or the ordinary run-of-the-mill process in the House and Senate to look into this.
Speaking of press conferences, the president's press secretary, Sean Spicer, has also been conducting a press conference as we've been talking, and he has said during the press conference that the president did ask for General Flynn's resignation. It was not volunteered, and it was asked for because it was a trust issue. The press secretary also went on to say that, the quote, the president has been incredibly tough on Russia so far. Ron, what's your sense of whether or not there will be a broad bipartisan investigation? There were lots of calls for that to investigate various things early on in the Trump administration, the question about voter fraud and others that Mitch McConnell has said could be handled by regular committees. Will there be some sort of special probe set up to look into this?
My guess, my suspicion is that there will not be. And there will not also be a special committee or commission set up to look into the conflicts of interest of the president or members of his family with respect to their business interests and government business. These are things that have been raised now for a number of weeks, even before the inauguration. There has been a chorus of people calling for such investigations. Now, of course, it's going to focus on Mike Flynn and it's going to focus on the Russia relationship and what else we can learn about that. But the resistance on the part of the Republican leadership thus far has been pretty close to uniform. They don't want to give these stories legs, powerful legs, that would keep them on the front page of every newspaper and at the top of broadcast news for the next many months.
Ron, we have to close, but what will you be watching for next? What's the next development in this ongoing story that you'll be keeping an eye on?
There's going to be a scramble to replace Mike Flynn. He has been temporarily replaced by another retired general, Keith Kellogg. He was a very low-key fellow who had been a deputy to Mike Flynn. He may be the permanent replacement, but it could be someone like David Petraeus. And a lot of other people are looking at a vice admiral named Robert Harward, someone to keep an eye on as well. And many, many more questions, many more calls for investigation.
Ron Elving, senior editor and correspondent at NPR. Ron, thanks so much.
Thank you, Dave.
This is Forum on KQED. I'm Dave Iverson in for Michael Krasny. We'll turn our attention to the subject of love next.